making that personal touch and making it about the love and the connection. That's what we have to do, because you have to tug on those heartstrings and say, hey, this is about your loved one, that you're, this is their last farewell. This is something beautiful that we can do for them. And then once you go at it from that angle, it's much different than what you said, Christy. I'm so sorry for your loss. That's not going to do squat anymore. Like those cookie cutter, it's not the way. From Rose Cremation, today we have on Christy. She's a rock star. If you haven't seen her before, she does a lot of things on social media. She does things a little bit differently in the funeral home, in the cremation business. She's got a very new age model of her funeral home, and I think there's a lot that we can learn and take from in some of our more traditional styles, so we can kind of get up with the certain times that we have going and really progress. And I think Christy is one that is able to do that and show it. She's been very successful in what she's doing, and for such a unique business model. And we would love to hear, Christy, what is Rose Cremation? What is it?
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I love watching you all the time. Everything you guys are doing is incredible. It is mortuary marketing in itself. I'm always like, oh my gosh, what an idea. But we're a little different. So Rose Cremation, what is Rose? We started off as a traditional cremation service. It derived from a mortuary, and the marketing idea there was, okay, you're seeing all of these cremation services pop up. Let's just have a cremation service to, you know, kind of see where that goes. Little did we know that the mortuary that it kind of derived from would not work out, you know, in the long run, and Rose really would. So my mom started the mortuary, and she started Rose. She has since taken a backseat and decided she's going to be a retiree, and she's going to love life, and she should, right? And she's worked hard enough. My dad's worked hard enough. So we're like, you know what? We're going to take the reins. And my brother and I both decided, okay, we're coming on board and we're doing this. We came from much different worlds. So I came from cosmetic management, and my brother was a graphic designer, and he works for the LA Kings. So it is, yeah, it's a lot different. So we walk in, and of course, you know, you're coming from completely different worlds. I think actually when I spoke with you and Connor, he had spoken about coming from a different world as well. So you have like a different set of eyes when you come into something.
Yeah, he came from Disney, and he had a marketing advertising background. So getting him up to speed in the funeral industry was definitely a big thing that we dealt with like for a year, honestly. So he could understand all the terminology and the way the business works. And I'm sure you had to deal with a lot of that too, but at the same time, it gives you a whole different perspective that you're coming in with that we don't see as funeral directors. So it's nice to have those balance of like maybe your mom and dad with the kind of traditional style, and then you and your brother coming in with these unique special ideas. It's a good balance, and it's worked for us with mortuary marketing. So
it makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
it makes a huge difference. I think just like having that separate set of eyes, you know, like you said, our parents, you know, they were just like kind of like steeped in tradition, and they were like, you know, this is how this goes. This is how it's been forever. And we were like, is that really working though? And it was, you know, it was working. But I think as like millennials, it wasn't working for us. So
right. It's like, do you want to be in that position in 15 years? Things change, and then you're kind of stuck in that rut. So it's like, do we want to be ahead of the curve, or do we want to fall behind? That's the question probably you were facing.
Exactly. And we were very blessed, where a lot of, you know, funeral homeowners' children aren't blessed. And our parents were like, let's do it. We're going to go full force. The struggles, the fight.
I love you, Dad. Yeah. I love you.
Like, hi. So yeah, you know, it was, so at first we had a slight bit of resistance, and then we're like, look, if we do something like this, it might be a little different. It might, you know, go a little better for us than it is going. And we were pretty decent volume at the time. I want to say we were probably doing, for a cremation service that was brand new, we were doing about 60 cases a year. So we come on board, and we're like,
for a beginning, that's huge,
Yeah, it's really good for a beginning. And, you know, my mom and my dad had been in the industry. So, you know, they knew what they were doing. They kind of had their business plan. So it was really easy for them to transition into that. Right. So when we came on board, we're like, 60, let's try for 100. So we were like, our goal was ultimately to say, let's now kind of double what we're doing. So we were like, I believe this place needs a makeover. And I think that we need to look at this from a different operational standpoint. So as I said, I came from cosmetics management. So that means operations are everything you are trying to sell. Like you at just one store, if you're, you know, now you're talking about going to multiple stores for, you know, a big beauty company, but one store, you're looking at $21 million a year. Like that's just like bare minimum. So I was like, how do we kind of incorporate how we run a store into how do we run a mortuary? So it was a lot of systems that were put into place that were not put into place previously that we had to do. But then it was also saying, okay, everybody that goes, so if you go to any local mortuary, and unfortunately I'm from Los Angeles, so we are in a very saturated market. And not only are we in a very saturated market, we are in a very known market. So it's very easy to say someone's going to go to Rose Hills or somebody is going to go to Forest Lawn or Hollywood Forever. That's a very easy thing. And understandably so, that is, you know, that they're marketing toward that. People want to be in those places and they're beautiful places. They should want to be in those places, but that's not feasible for everybody. So we wanted to give a sense of like modernism and say, okay, now this is approachable for anybody. So anybody can come in here and, you know, just kind of plug and play. We can have the service that you want. We can customize what you want. And that's kind of what we started doing. So we completely changed it. As you can see, we do not look like your traditional mortuary here. Yeah. So it's been a journey, but yeah. So we basically started off saying we are going to renovate everything. So we got rid of like that old, like kind of cherry oak and like, you know, just like that. Exactly. That typical mortuary that you're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. We were like, let's flip it and reverse it and let's start it over. So we basically brought in all of our elements. We wanted people to come in here, feel comfortable and basically feel like it's not some stuffy place where, you know, we're showing up in blazers and we're, you know, it's very like, oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. We wanted to talk about their loved ones. We wanted to celebrate their loved ones. And we wanted to really just kind of get a feel for the person that we're celebrating here. So yeah, it's been a crazy time.
Yeah, I believe it. That's the way the future. I say this all the time. It's all about the service, all about the family, making it personal to them, doing those things that it's going to set you apart to show our services that's what you're paying for. It's not it's not the caskets or the urns or anything like that. It's the actual service. And then if you have a beautiful building behind it with a great management team and funeral directors, like that all is cohesive into being like, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And I think that's why the wedding industry has been so successful and so huge that we haven't caught up yet, but we're getting there. It's making that personal touch and making it about the love and the connection. That's what we have to do, because you have to tug on those heartstrings and say, hey, this is about your loved one, this is their last farewell. This is something beautiful that we can do for them. And then once you go at it from that angle, it's much different than what you said, Christy, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's not going to do squat anymore. Like those cookie cutter, it's not the way. So I love what you're doing. Very unique, very special. What are some specific things that you're doing for services that would maybe apply to some of our funeral directors that we could use for our non-competing LA funeral homes?
So it's a little different here. So every family that comes in, sits in the chairs here, we basically have a questionnaire for them and we want to find out about their loved one. We want to find out what were their favorite snacks. Did they have any favorite music? Did they have any favorite colors? Do you have any tchotchkes you can bring into us? All of that kind of stuff. So we basically plug in everything and then we build out everything from scratch for our family. So our families come in here and they do absolutely nothing. And that was my whole thing with when we started saying, okay, we're going to change this over. We want to make it a little different. I was so used to like your traditional funeral home where it's like, okay, the family brings in the food, the family brings in, you know, the photos, the family sets up the music, they do everything. And it kind of derived from a really bad experience I had. So when my grandmother died, she had a preneed. She had a preneed since like 1979. Ooh. And yeah, I know. So we made a killing from Rose Hills on that preneed. But when I had gone in to the arrangements to do everything with my dad, we were sitting there. And we're like, okay, so like, what's included? They're like, nothing. You get the room. That's it. Nothing's included. Basically, you get the time. There's a common area where everybody can kind of gather. But please know, there's other families there. So at any given time, there are maybe about 4 funerals going on. And other families are also congregating in that area. So you have to monitor if anything's going on. So I'm already like, okay, fine, whatever. It's really weird. It's really weird. Yeah. And I was instantly just put off by that. But you know, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to cause a scene about that just because we're already dealing with something and I don't want to make something harder for my dad. So I'm just like, okay, Christy, go with the flow. And that is very difficult for me because I am not a go with the flow kind of girl. So it's very true. So we end up getting everything put together. And yeah, it was just that though. We end up showing up and they don't have any tables for us to use. They don't have any easels for us to use. Luckily, my mom had a funeral home. So obviously we were like, okay, we can just bring everything. We're going to bring it all. We're going to do that. But that experience, and the thing about that was also, there was no attendance for us. They were sitting in like a little pod. Everybody was sitting and we were like, if we needed something, we had to go up to them. They wouldn't get up. They were upset that we were asking them.
Yeah.
And I was so off put by that. So when I came into this industry, every single time I have met with a family, and I did meet with a family after that point, it was just to basically give them the opposite of that experience. Because in my head, the logic is, okay, you're already grieving. You're already dealing with a lot. You're making plans. You're closing out accounts. You're doing basically so much. The last thing you want to have to worry about is, oh my gosh, do I have to get those flowers taken care of? Do I have to get pictures printed out? Do I have to get snacks for everybody? Mm-hmm. So with our model, we said we're going to do it differently and we are going to include everything. So we are all inclusive in our packages. We ask our families, email us out some photos, send us some favorite music. We have a collection of about 300 vinyl records. So we will take out... Yeah, if you probably see this guy over here, we will take out the vinyl for the services. We have done Elvis services. We've done Jordan services. We've done Yucatan services. So we are really big on customization just because it's basically the idea of getting away from that kind of like cookie cutter service, like that service that everybody else offers. We wanted to not offer. So yeah, we don't have, the only expectation we have of our families is bring us clothes, send us pictures. We will take care of the rest. But yeah, completely custom. Yeah, we include food and everything, which I think that's also like, you know,
some people don't want.
Yeah, it's really rare. Yeah, we do everything. If you check out our TikToks or our Yelp, everything, you can see everything is included. It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. And it sounds like a lot of work, but I feel like you're very good with systematizing these things. So it's like, this is how we can do it. So it's not overbearing on our workers. And then the family can see, we are getting so much value out of this. Like, that's what you want to do. And that's how you get people to be recurring business and to spread the word about your funeral home and just show them the way that this can be done in a different sort of way where it's the family gives you the input, but they don't have to think about it. That's the difference. So like
Helping
you along to plan it, but you're the ones acting it out. And I love like those little aspects, those little touches are huge. The food is a big thing that I think every funeral home needs to do because we can make more money on that too. It doesn't make sense that we've gone 100 years or whatever it is with these traditional style funeral homes and we're not offering food or catering. Yeah. Why are we not doing that? Extra revenue. They're going to be bringing in anyway. Why not make it easier on the family and we can make money on it? It doesn't make sense to me why we haven't been doing that forever. So, and if you can make it the food that they like, all the better.
Exactly. And I think I know Amber was on your show a couple of weeks ago and she's always like the person that like I refer to when it comes to, you know, food and grief, all of that stuff. She's incredible with that. But, you know, it's a very valid point. I think food, music, you know, even their personal items, that is such a big connection that people have to their loved ones. So why wouldn't you include that? Why wouldn't you do that? So
stories and senses. Yep.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, it's already a difficult enough situation. You're already going through something that's very difficult. So you want to remember those things that make you happy too, because like while you're wrapped up in your grief, you also want to remember, oh my gosh, this song reminded me of my mom, or this, you know, this little like moon pie reminded me of her, so on and so forth. So yeah, it's really important. And you're right. It's incredible that you don't see more of it. And I hope, you know, I hope that tide turns. I hope that it kind of becomes different and it's not, you know, what we're used to and what we're told we have to do, because really the world is changing, and as our industry should.
Right. Right. I think it is. I very much do. And it's conversations like these that help kind of give everyone a little kickstart in that situation to say, hey, we can do this too. I love that the funeral industry has gotten so much closer, it seems, over recent years, and we all bounce ideas off each other, and we're trying to help each other because we want our industry to change the reputation that went sour along the way. At some point,
yeah,
a lot of people went sour. So I think all of us working together to try to do the opposite and say, hey, we are very compassionate, caring people that we want the best for you. We're trying to do things for you. That's the way. And I love that we're able to do that through these connections. And it's just, yeah, we give each other motivation to do more. We give each other ideas to do more. And then you can incorporate your own style. Like I always said that when I started learning embalming, this is a different way, but I learned from a bunch of different people and mm-hmm. I made my own path. And that's the way I like to do it. But I still love to learn and like incorporate new things. It's the same thing with running your funeral home or running your services. It's like you can pick and choose the pieces that you like, or for a service maybe where someone was a big Elvis fan or something, you're like, hey, I can do something. Look, listen, remember what Christy said, like on that podcast or on her post, whatever it is, you can have those new ideas and we can progress and like keep it going so our industry can flourish. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that about all of like, not necessarily the new directors, but, you know, just this new generation coming in. Yeah. Everybody is so willing to bounce ideas off of each other. Yeah. Everybody is so willing to give up their information. You know, when I first started, you'd encounter a lot of older people that were like, I don't want to talk to you. What are you doing? You're my competition.
And they all like, that's how it was with my dad and my uncles. And I think my grandfather as well. It's like, those people are competition. Like we don't. And that's how I was like when I started in the funeral industry, being flat out honest, I was like, everyone is competition. I was very standoffish in mortuary school, and I'm extremely outgoing, but I was like, these people are future competition, so I'm not gonna like, and I was like completely and utterly wrong about that. And obviously I learned since then, it's like you need to do the opposite. But it's funny how big of a swing it's taken in not that long of time.
I love that though. And yeah, I don't know, like if we're like, you know how they say, oh, you know, we're healing generational trauma. Maybe we are within the funeral industry. Maybe we are. But you know, like it's such a big difference. And again, you know, I could say all day that, you know, my parents were like, no, we don't want to do this, or no, we don't want to do that. But no, even them, they're like, yeah, like the more info we can get, the more people that we can give information to, the better. Because there are some things that even to this day, I'm like, is that right? And I am so lucky to have just such an abundance of resources, especially in Southern California, where everybody's like, yeah, well, I do it this way, so maybe you can do it this way, and so on and so forth. Like right now, I'm literally getting text messages having people ask me from other mortuaries, hey, what's going on? All of that stuff. But yeah, you know, I love that we're kind of changing the culture. And that's what it is. It's a culture change. And we're doing that. And it's amazing.
That's so great. So when you made the switch to come into the family business, quote unquote, what were you nervous about anything? And what were your thoughts about dealing with, not that you do too much with remains, or like, what was your whole take? Because you came from a very different background, same with your brother. So what was that like? And how were you able to separate, like saying, I'm focusing on running this business and helping families, as opposed to that behind the scene work that is very imperative as well?
Yeah. So my mom had really tried just to kind of like break me down for years and be like, you should come into the business. You should come into the business. You should do this. You should do this. And I was like, absolutely not. You are out of your mind.
Yeah.
I wanted nothing to do with it. I was like, I'm going to be in cosmetics for the rest of my life. And it's, you know, it's going to be feasible and I'm going to do this. And it turned out it was not feasible. And I did not want to do that for the rest of my life. So I had just had my son, and I was like, you know what? I have some downtime. And my mom was like, great, you should come to the funeral home. So the first thing I tell her was, I've told you a million times, I don't want to be around your services. I do not want to see anybody. I don't want to do this. I don't want to touch anything. Literally day three, she's like, come on, we're going. You're going to go see an embalming. I was like, great. When I first began, I wanted nothing to do with it. I was like, I'm just here for your admin work. I'm here to get you up and organized. That's all I'm here to do. Yeah. That changed pretty much immediately. Pretty much immediately, you see that there's a need for it. And even if you're a squeamish person, you will get over that so quickly.
Yep.
Once you're actually in it. At this point, I'm like, nothing shocks me. I can see anything. We can hop in. We can do all of the stuff. We deal with remains. We deal with basically every aspect of the business.
Yeah.
But when I first started, I wanted nothing to do with it. So I kind of had to, you know, really get used to it and really like kind of acclimate myself. And it's a lot of relearning too. You know,
yeah.
I think people forget more often than not how much work goes in behind the scenes, even just like on a filing level, how much work goes into it, how much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like how much effort it takes, the dreaded physicians, everything, you know, it just kind of, yeah, it's so much work. And, you know, here I am from the outside and, you know, your parents are in it, but you're not asking about it because you want nothing to do with it. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't realize how much work they had been doing for all of these years and how much it took out. So, you know, now I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm always tired. I'm always exhausted. And my parents were always exhausted. They were always tired. And now I can see why. But, you know, then you don't realize that. You don't see any of that. So it.
Yes, you're in it, right? Yep.
You know, until you're in it. So it was
that special connection, I think. Funeral directors know. And that's why we're like, hey, we can all flow in the same way because we realize the challenges that every day can hold.
Yeah. And it's really true. I feel like it's always got like ever changing. You never know what's going to be thrown at you. So you have to adapt so quickly in this industry. It's just, you know, I think funeral directors are very unique people because they are just probably the best group of people that can think on their feet. They can adapt. They can think on their feet. True. Like you throw something at them and tell them to tap dance and they will tap dance for you.
You need to adjust and, I guess, seconds notice nonstop. You have to be on your toes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's like with every aspect, whether that's like a filing, whether that's a decedent, whether that's a service, every single aspect, I feel like we always just have things thrown at us and we're like, oh my gosh. And you have to just act like cool. So we always use the analogy of you have to be a duck on water. So when a duck's on water, it's very like serene, it's floating, it's doing its thing. But underneath, it's like doing that thing. Yeah. So, you know, we always are ducks on water in this industry. And, you know, we never let our families know that. But after, you know, when we walk back in the back, we're like, oh, my God, what just happened? Like, are we OK? Like checking on each other kind of a deal. And I've been very lucky, you know, kind of in this transition to have. I've had my best friend, Lindsay. She is our office manager. She handles everything in our office. I have my brother and, you know, my parents, while they do enjoy, you know, they're enjoying their semi-retirement. My parents are literally a phone call away and they're always here. My dad was literally just here. And, you know, they're always here. They're very much a part of it. We don't run, we don't do anything without running anything by our little committee that we have. And I don't even think in the future that, you know, even if they're like 80 years old and we're still doing this and, you know, we're in our 60s, I don't see myself not including them just because they are such like, they're such a part of it. They are such a big part of it still. Everybody, it's a family effort.
It is. It is. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing what you're doing. And it shows us, like people like me and other family firms, that it can be done. You just got to focus and use some determination. And maybe some funeral directors that are a little bit older might take a little bit more persuasion than your mom and dad, but it can be done. I mean, you've shown it yourself. How big has your business grown from those about 60 calls that you were getting when you first were starting to now?
We do about 300 cases annually. Just a little bit of growth. You know, just to that first year. Yeah, that first year when we said we wanted to do, you know, double our cases, we got about 200 cases that first year. Once my brother and I came on, we were like, okay. So we were like really cooking with fire. It has only grown. And I will say I can attribute a lot of that to the pandemic. I can attribute a lot of that to how weird we are. We are just a little odd. We're a little oddballs, especially when you come to our general area. So we're pretty saturated. So there are to my north, there are two funeral homes within a block.
Oh, wow.
Behind me, yeah, right behind me, there are, to my west, there's going to be one block is a funeral home, one block's a funeral home. We are so saturated in our area.
Wow.
But it's weird. I know. I think we're so saturated. But we had to, like I said, we had to figure out what was going to make us different. And unfortunately, the realization for that came when I started seeing people my age sitting in a chair next to me. So I started seeing a lot of millennials and a lot of their parents were passing away. And these are people that are my age. These are people that, you know, you never think you're going to see that. And you're going to see, you know, people who are your age's parents dying. And, you know, it happens, but so frequently. So I noticed that they were not happy.
Unfortunately, right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And then I think to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, does that mean you're getting older too?
We are, but don't tell anyone.
So I started seeing people our ages in our arrangements rooms. And I just was like, you know what? We have to make this more friendly for us. And the fact of the matter is, whether we have a full-blown schedule where we can't get away or whatever it may be, so there's so many factors that go into that. So we started doing everything digitally for the most part, especially with the direct cremations. That's such a big thing. Especially when people are across the country, whatever. And during COVID, nobody wanted to go out. Nobody wanted to, you know, so we really had to change that. And then also, like I said, changing how the services were, changing how everything is kind of set up, even to how we meet with people. We wanted people to feel comfortable. So, yeah, you know, I think that all kind of factored into the growth of the business. I think everything factored into that. And Yelp has been incredible. Social media has been incredible. And it's really allowed us to grow to the point now where we are a holding facility for other mortuaries. We do prep for other mortuaries. Yeah. And we rent our chapel to other mortuaries. If other mortuaries have to use our arrangements room, they're allowed to do that. And yeah, my whole thing with that is not everybody, and you're in a very similar situation. Not everybody has been, and for lack of better words, blessed to have have been born into something like this. Yeah. Not everybody has had that same opportunity. And I am very conscious of that.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so, and it shows, it totally shows because you're out there to help as well. So that was my whole thing. Like, not everybody has that. Not everybody has that opportunity. So if we can help even our competitors get a head start, we can do that. So it's also created for us, luckily, another stream of revenue for us as well. So even when we're not busy, we're busy. So yeah, it's been a time growing the business. But yeah, we jumped rapidly. And I will say,
how did you handle that jump? Because that is drastic. So were you struggling to get employees? How did that work that first year when it went nuts?
So everybody had to instantly get certified. Everybody had to get certified in everything across the board. And that was one of the things we implemented, that we wanted everybody cross-trained in everything. Because in the event that something was hopping off and a situation like this was happening, we would be able to do it. So I would say, for the most part, myself and Lindsay handled pretty much all of the filing, all of the paperwork, all of that stuff.
Boy, oh boy.
It was a time. And my mom is she's like the salt of the earth woman who she can sit with any family and be like the most comforting person you have ever met in your life. And it's like the quality of hers that I wish I had, because sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, that sucks. She's like,
dang, I wish I'm happy I'm not in your shoes.
Right. I'm like, oh, no way that happened. Jeez. But no, she's like salt of the earth. She is amazing with families. And you know,
it's the same exact way. He really is. Yeah. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
He can meet with anyone and he just has that calming presence that you can feel like that connection to, and you can be close with, and you can rely on him. It's very much a talent and a skill that can is developed over a long time of doing this.
It really is. Like, I feel like I'm sure your dad too, like just the kind of people that you just want to give a hug because they're going to comfort you like so much. Yeah. And yeah, that's how my mom is. So we were like, hey, can you like take on arrangements for us? Can you do all of that stuff? So she is like the queen of all of that. We love that. So, you know, everybody just kind of had to like jump in, and we always would say that we were a machine and everybody were little cogs in this machine, and everybody had to do their part to make sure that it was going. And it kind of came back to like those like Ulta days of like being operational and like having to say, okay, you're stationed here, you're stationed here, you're doing this, you're doing that. But unfortunately, you know, when you're at that volume, you have to do that. You have to do that. So now it's funny because high volume is nothing for us now. And we even so much as have a service where we will do filing and all of that stuff for mortuaries that can't keep up with their volume. Right. So yeah, it makes, and you know, not everybody adapts to that. Not everybody does that. But when it did pick up, we had just kind of hit the ground running. And there were times where we have our cooler. It's like kind of like there's an alleyway right behind it. And there were times where I would walk out to that alley, like almost in tears. And I am like, just like almost crying to my brother, almost crying to Lindsay, almost crying to my mom, because sometimes it felt so overwhelming and I didn't know how to handle that stress. And eventually I think you just become immune to it. You just go with it. You're like, you know, it's another day. But yeah, I don't know if you're ever, I don't know if anybody is ever really ready for that kind of jump, especially with something that matters. Because, you know, you can have a retail business and say, hey, we had a really great jump. And the worst that we're worrying about is, oh, do we have enough supplies to order? But this is literally life and death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. It was a very single error ever. And it's
exactly
stressful when you, when your business goes up a little bit extra. You can be as prepared as you want. It's still going to be tough, but isn't that what we want end of the day anyway? So it's like, hey, like these are good problems to have, and we're helping more families or businesses doing better. And then you just adjust. Like you just said, Christy, it's like, okay, now this is my baseline. I know we can handle this. And so you kind of move on. But at the beginning, any change is challenging.
Yeah. Especially, and you know, especially when you have people coming in that don't do this, like they weren't people that did this. So it was literally a matter of having to hit the ground running. And I think becoming as good as we are at what we do now was just a necessity. We had no other choice. And, you know, especially during that time, the world's kind of on fire, right? So like there's that added stress to it. So it made such a difference. And what we had thought was going to happen was, okay, we're getting this like really large influx now because of COVID and because of all of that stuff. We're like, it'll be fine. It's going to stop. It never stopped. I just, before we started, I was telling you, I am so tired. The summertime hasn't stopped. And I'm like thinking every single summer now, oh yeah, it's cool. We're going to have a break. Everybody goes on vacation in the summer. There's not been a vacation. There has not been a vacation.
No. You need some help. We need some funeral directors out there helping you. We need extra hands on deck for you, Christy.
Oop, that's a death call here. Hold on just a second. All right, I think the students got it. I'm sorry about that. You know, we've been seeing a lot more business come in ever since we started mortuary marketing. And I got to tell you, all the funeral homes we work with, they're saying the same thing. So what do? We run ads on Google and other similar sites that get directed at families that need a funeral home in your area. It then brings them to a page that we've designed for you that gets the family to call you to inquire for your services. It's really increased our volume big time. It's working for my funeral home, and I think most parlors could really benefit from its uses. I put a bunch of information in the podcast description. Go check it out. I'm always happy to help talk with you and answer any questions you might have. All right, let's get back to our morbid discussion.
We have our mob mentality here. We're like, you have to be like jumped in to come here. That's the thing.
I believe it. I believe it. I mean, that would be the only way from the sound of it. Tell us a little bit about. So you focus pretty much on cremation services. So what percent are we looking at? What percent are you having memorials? What is that looking like?
So we do about 80% cremation. It's a lot of cremating. Yep. So we do about 80% cremation. Then the other 20 would be services. I would say you're probably 15 body present services. And then, you know, the other 5, you know, memorials and all of that stuff. Right. I think we're very big on letting our families know, hey, we can help you with a memorial. And this is like my whole thing as well. we're going to make money regardless. Us as funeral directors, we are going to make money regardless. This is a very lucrative business. And everybody, especially when you're in positions like ours, it is a very lucrative business. And while there are a lot to be paid, there are, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. You know, so I think that where we were kind of coming from was, we could do a memorial for you, or I can give you the tools to do a memorial where you're saving now about $2,000, because just because it's lucrative for us, that doesn't mean that somebody who had an unexpected death can afford that. That's just what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So we have been very conscious of making our price point. And I think this really does help us as well when it comes to services, when it comes to cremations. We almost underprice everything. We don't make as much as you would think on that. Not only does it drive our volume, because obviously you see this is the best deal, great, we're going to come in, but we also offer really great services too. So you're always going to have more people coming in. But yeah, you know, if we can get around that, as far as, you know, like a memorial is concerned, telling a family, hey, look, I can tell you where I do my ordering from. I can tell you, this is how I do this. This is where we go. This is what we do. This is how I set this up. And you guys can do this on your own, save a couple $1,000s, because I know this is unexpected and this might not be something that, you know, you had anticipated. You can always do that. And honestly, most of the times they'll take us up on that, because they're more than happy to, you know, say, we're going to throw a big party. Who knows their mom better than they know their mom?
Right.
You know, all of that stuff. So we're always, you know, unless there's a body present, you know, we're always kind of willing to say, well, let's see how we can help you out in that regard. But yeah, you know, as far as our business is concerned, we do mostly cremation. We do mostly cremation here and cremation services. But yeah, you know, it's really, I think the reason that we are in the position we're in is because we try to price it for our families more than anything.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I figured you would be going a different route with that. So I'm interested in that. I think when you're that transparent with them, it builds trust is what it does. It's like, you could do this on your own. Like you give them options and they're like, okay, you know, do I want to do all that? Do I want to do all that planning, or should I let professional people do it, to do this for a living, and that we've, you know, learned from other people or read online or whatever it was, that their recommendations, they go above and beyond for your families. So it's like one of those things maybe where it said, hey, we're giving you these opportunities, you can use our resources, or we can do it for you. I think it just like shows that you're very transparent, you're upfront with them, and it gives them that confidence in you if they go that way. But no, I think that's a good way about it, especially with your volume. It seems like you need to go that way. But I mean, as long as you give a family some options, I think that's really the best thing you can do for them in all circumstances.
Yeah, and you really can gauge that. I think it's like on a case-to-case basis. True. You really can gauge it. Yeah, so if somebody is already coming saying, hey, look, I'm having a really difficult time with this. I want to do this, but I don't know how feasible that is. That's when you step in and say, okay, well, you can do this on your own. You're able to do this on your own. And sometimes people are like, I don't want to have to deal with anything. I want you to take everything. And in those cases, you're like, great, let's do this. Let's move forward. But I think it's gauging it. And especially, you know, even if you're in Los Angeles, that's not meaning that everybody's driving a Ferrari and everybody's, you know, doing the thing. Largely working class. So also, you know, I try to factor that in as much as possible, that we want to keep things as fair as possible for our families.
Right. Yeah. That's a good thing. You're keeping it fair for them and helping out a lot of people at the same time. All right. My last question, I want to know, what was your favorite service that you ever put on and why?
All right. I definitely have that one. So an Elvis service, of course, Mr. Elvis, he's here. He's always in our chapel here. So we've done multiple Elvis services. However, we had you might kind of have more insight to this. They wanted a traditional Irish wake. So I had
plenty of experience in that.
Exactly. So it was kind of a very odd situation from the get-go. So one of my really, really good friends, he works for a very great, an amazing removal company. Uh-huh. And he calls me and he's like, hey, Christy, they're trying to change mortuaries. They're trying to change mortuaries. And I was like, what do you mean they're trying to change mortuaries? Yeah. And he was like, the family is so upset with the mortuary. They don't want to go with them. Can I give them your information if they want to talk to you? I'm here at this call right now. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, you can. I mean, it's like a little bit of a gray area, but you know, if they have any questions, I'm more than willing to answer, but you know, sure. I don't want to take a case. So the lady calls me right away. She's like, I can't stand these people. I don't want to work with them. They're making me feel uneasy. How do I cancel this? I was like, you're going to have to call your mortuary first. Whoa. I was like, you're going to have to cancel completely and call your mortuary beforehand. So yeah. They do that. End up calling me back. We go through everything and she tells me exactly what she wants. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay. So she ends up, my friend, we end up dispatching him now because I'm like, well, he's already in the area. We might as well just dispatch his company. So I call his company. We dispatch this out, get everything taken care of. And he's coming here and he's like, I'm getting a call as he's getting off of the freeway. And he's like, oh, hey, Christy, by the way, the family followed me. And I was like, what do you mean the family followed you? And he was like, yeah, the family followed me and they want to talk to you right now. I had no appointments that day. So, you know, I just have like this crazy bun in my hair and like no makeup, look like I'm trash can, Christy. And I was like, why didn't you call me when you were on your way back from Sherman Oaks? Like, why didn't you do this, sir? So the sister of the decedent comes in and she comes in with her daughter. She walks in and, you know, she's distraught. You are dealing with something crazy. You just find your sister. You know, she is distraught. And
you're switching to your homes. You're doing all this stuff, right?
Exactly. So she sits down and she was like, the first experience I had was such a bad experience. It felt so impersonal. I didn't feel safe with them taking my sister. And I asked Juan, and Juan was there and he was super, super compassionate. He was super caring. And I knew that I could trust what he was saying. He brought me right to you. I'm like, yes, I know. He didn't tell me that he was doing that. So, so we started talking. And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm from Chicago. And I was like, oh, no way. I lived in Chicago for 6 years. And I was like, I lived off of Irving and Lakeshore Drive. And she like stops and she's like, she looks like she saw a ghost. And she was like, Irving and Lakeshore Drive. Yeah. I was like, yeah. She's like, I grew up in a building on Irving and Lakeshore Drive. And she says this really big building that's on that corner. And I now am looking like I saw a ghost. And I was like, my husband grew up in that building and his mom still lives in that building. His aunts still live in that building. His whole entire family lives in that building still. So she's like, I knew it. I knew that this was, she's like, I knew this was the place.
I live on that street too.
No, dude, you're like, I live in that building.
I don't live in that building, but I live on Irving Park Road in Chicago too. Small world. That is crazy.
It's a big one. It's a really big one. So yeah, they end up, so she sits in the arrangements room and, you know, when you're in our arrangements room, I'm currently in here. As soon as you sit, she sees our record player here and we always switch everything out. It's switched out daily. The record gets switched out daily multiple times. I have a rule here that I want Maude playing at all times just because I think it's kind of like a diversion in a way to make you stop thinking about what you're currently thinking about. Yep. So I constantly have her going on and, you know, again, big Elvis fans here. We had an Elvis record playing and she walks in and she looks and she sees the Elvis record playing. She sees the little Elvis over here and she starts crying. And I'm like, oh shit, what's happening? Like, what is happening right now? Did I do something wrong? Like, should I turn this off? And she's like, my sister has that exact record player, the exact make and model in her apartment. And she loves Elvis. She is obsessed with Elvis. So she was instantly like, this is the place I need to be. This is where I want to be. So we start going through it. She wants a full service. She wants a full traditional kind of, you know, Irish wake. And I wasn't really sure what that meant. I'm Mexican. So I'm used to like a Mexican service where it's like very pomp and circumstance. And it's like, we are doing a rosary and you are going to be crying. And it is what it is. Like, that's what I'm used to my whole entire life. So, you know, I didn't realize what a celebration it would really become. So we end up doing this full-blown Elvis service. She says, I want the whole entire chapel cleared and I want tables in there. I want chairs in there. I want food in there. We're going to go to this Italian restaurant because Italian was her favorite food. So if you guys can get the food, if you can go get her favorite sandwiches, if you can do this. And we were like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. So we do that service. I end up meeting her at this really famous restaurant in downtown LA. It's they're called Philippe the Original. If you're ever in LA, please go. I get all of her sister's items. So it's like her Elvis phone, her hats, her dog that passed away's items. We get, you know, all kinds of stuff and we set it up. Every single table is set up differently because it was each of her different items, had the record player going, got her sister's records themselves, started playing that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And if you go on our TikTok, you can see video of this service. But the coolest thing about this service was there's a body present, right? You have a body present. There's somebody present. Everybody's eating. Everybody's enjoying themselves. Everybody's having such a good time that they almost forgot. And that room during that service, my favorite part about the service was there was no tears during the service. There was family there. There was all of that stuff. There was no tears. All we heard for 4 hours, just erupting laughter. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was having a drink. Everybody was happy to see each other. And it was just such a nice change from what we traditionally do. And it was her. Right. It was completely her. It was completely custom. It ended up coming out that they knew my husband's grandfather used to have an ice cream shop right across from Wrigley Field. And yeah, so they end up saying, you know, I knew, because my husband's Greek, as you might be able to tell from the last name. They're like, you know, we knew a Greek family once. We knew this Greek family. And the man was the nicest man I had ever met in my life. He used to own an ice cream shop across from Wrigley Field. And immediately my husband shows a picture and they knew my husband's grandfather, who my husband never met. He died before my husband was even born.
Whoa. So I wonder what the name of it was. Our original funeral home was blocks away from Wrigley.
No, it was called Pete's Freeze.
Pete's Freeze. I'm going to write that down and ask my dad to see if he knows. I'm sure he's been many times when he was a kid. That's so cool. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, in what universe would one of my friends be like, hey, I found this person. They're going to be following me. And all these synchronicities end up happening. But that is by far, it's the craziest mortuary story I have. And my favorite, the lady, she's salt of the earth. I love her. I will text her every once in a while. She's incredible. And yeah, it's just my favorite part about that, though, was the connections that we ended up making because of that. So yeah, I mean, it was very, very cool service.
That is beautiful. I mean, I love what you did and you made it about her. So cool. And I think we see those connections, those weird connections. I feel like maybe I just have my radar on for it, but I feel like I see them all the time where it's like these weird symmetry that you wouldn't expect. And it's just like, there's something bigger at play is what I like to think. Cause it's just too weird sometimes. And it feels like you had a bunch of that with her and that's such a cool experience.
Yeah. And it's true though. Like you say, sometimes I think there is something bigger at play. Like I can be, you know, the biggest skeptic of all time. Like, and I am, I'm like, I don't believe in tarot cards. I don't believe in astrology. I don't believe in any of that stuff. Yeah. But, so I'm very skeptical. Like I'm very, very skeptical, but then something like that happens and I'm like, the universe is bigger than you are, Christy. Like, remember that, always remember that. And it's true though. It was wild.
So great. Everything you're doing is just awesome. And we appreciate you sharing what you're doing because I think we can put that into our day to day and make all of our businesses better. You can see the mentality that she has and the passion she has. And that hopefully will ignite a lot of our fire. And that's why we do this stuff, so that we can learn and get better and have some fun and listen to stories. So Christy, thank you so much for being here to talking with us. And we wish you and your brother and your family nothing but the best. Hopefully you get some more help on your hands and just keep rocking what you're doing at Rose. It's awesome.
Thank you so much for having me and continue what you're doing. You guys are incredible and I love watching you all the time.
I appreciate that.